Okay. Holidays. The holiday season has just ended. December 25th is past us now. Now even New Year's Day is past us. But have you ever noticed that around the holidays, everyone just gets a little bit nicer? I mean, it always happens, right? Everyone knows it. Everyone just gets a little bit nicer. The joy of the season just permeates all of society, even for non-believers and believers alike. Church attendance, Catholic and Protestant, jumps through the roof. Like in a Catholic church, it might jump as much as 4 to 8 or even 10 times the normal people attending the church. A Christmas mass is flooded with people that the Pope or the priest hasn't seen throughout the year. But now that the season is coming to an end and we look upon a new year, what do we do now? Do we return to the monotony of our humdrum daily lives? Do we go back and say, oh, back to work again? Okay, that was wonderful, that was great, but now it's life, right? Absolutely not. That is not the course that we are to take as Christians. We look upon a new year, brothers. 359 days lie before us in this year. Some of those days will be full of joy and God's blessings showering down upon us. And others, in others, we will only see hardships and trials. They are there. We know it, right? They're around the corner. We're gonna face another roadblock, another stumbling block, you know, another trial that we must overcome through the power of God. And we go forth without knowing what's there, like sheep. In Matthew 10:16, Jesus says, Behold, I am sending you out like sheep among the wolves. But we go not alone, brothers. That is the message I want to really emphasize to you today, and the means by which we can guarantee that we are not alone on this trip. Many people, both believers and non-believers, take this time of the year to make New Year's resolutions. How many of you have made them? There's nothing wrong with them. Christmas behind us, we let out a heave and a sigh. And we go, okay, what did I do this year that I can really make better? And we make these resolutions within ourselves, for ourselves, and we resolve by ourselves that we're going to do something better this year. But is that the way that we should be going as Christians? Ourselves. You know, Christmas, church attendance rises through the roof. New Year's, gym attendance rises through the roof. Because everyone's hitting the gym, and they all want to go ahead and lose weight and stuff. But how long does that last? It's because we're trying to do these things by ourselves. I'm not saying that resolutions and gym memberships are wrong. Only that for us as Christians, it is much more appropriate to take this time instead to equip ourselves for the new year. Not with our own resolve, but with the strength of God, brothers. Did you catch that? We need to take this time to get ready, to get prepared, to put on the full armor of God, to search the scriptures, to what I'm going to be going through today, to pray like He taught us to pray, so that we can make sure that we have God on our side in this year to come. And God teaches us how to do that. Jesus came specifically to teach us, and He tells us, this is how you should pray. Today we'll be looking at the Lord's Prayer, my brothers. I mean, I'm sure many of you probably have it already memorized. I remember the first time I memorized it, I was in like elementary school or something. I could go ahead, I got like a little star on like my little report card from Bible study school, and then I can turn that in for prizes or toys or something. But do you really understand what it means? Because in that prayer is so much power that can guide you through so much hard times in the future that is to come. The Holy Spirit, with that prayer, with any scripture. But let's work with what we have, you know? And that's one that we do have, right? Can do so much for us. in this year to come. Let's pray, brothers. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word, Lord Father, and as we seek out, Lord Father, just what you would have us do, Lord Father, how you would have us grow, Lord Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just open our hearts, Lord Father, and open our minds and our souls and our spirits, Lord Father, so that we might be filled with the things that are of you, so that we might be prepared for the path that you set before us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 9 through 15. Brother Andrew, could you read for us?
Yes. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us not our deeds as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Thank you. Lord, I ask that we would just be able to really dive into this and just really just understand your will for us. Thank you. The Lord's Prayer. Jesus Christ came into this world, and despite centuries of God's intervention and guidance with the Israelite nation, what he found when Jesus came, what did he find? He found not a nation that was prepared, that was honed with God's, you know, constant working with them through Moses and all the prophets and the judges. He didn't find people that were just ready and prepared and ready to go and smite the enemies of God. What he found was a people that were lost. A people that had forgotten their inheritance. Power-hungry Pharisees. People that were ignorant of who God was. What they were supposed to be. Who they were as Jewish people. Who we are now. Are we the same? We are as the chosen people of God. Have we forgotten who we are? Jesus came in order to teach them. Addressing a multitude of people upon a mountain. This particular passage that we just read is part of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus comes and he just starts teaching to all these children. Because that's what they are. They are lost. That even though they should have been grown up, they had not learned the lessons that God had intended for them. And God knew that. So he sent Jesus Christ to teach them. And God and Jesus comes and he doesn't only teach, he rebukes. In the beginning of chapter 6, if you go ahead and read it on your own time, you'll notice that he rebukes them. He says, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others. He says, don't show off about your holiness. This is between you and God. He rebukes the incorrect actions. He rebukes them and he says, when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans in verse 7. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He sets it straight. He gives them something they hadn't had in a long time. The truth. The truth about the love of God for them. He rebukes and then he teaches. He teaches us how to pray. And we've all heard this before. We've probably heard it 1,000 times. But what does it mean? Let's look into that. This then is how you should pray. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, this is him speaking to us. He came here 2,000 years ago to teach us this. This then is how you should pray. You, Andrew. And you, what was your name?
Mariano.
Mariano. Mariano, is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Brother Mariano. This then is how you should pray, Mariano. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? Prayer is our way of communicating with God. We begin our prayers by acknowledging our relationship with Him. It doesn't have to be necessarily stated, you know? We don't always need to come over before the Lord and say, I am a sinner and you are God and you are holy. But sometimes stating it helps. See what this is doing right here, our Father in heaven, you are our Father. It's acknowledging this relationship. Father, what does that make us? The Son, the children, right? Hallowed be your name. We're establishing the relationship. We're reminding ourselves, you know, who God is. God is God the Father, creator of everything. If you want to say that in your prayers, that's what you say. You just remind yourself who God is. Because unless you know who He is, you don't know what to say to Him, right? Whenever we meet somebody, right, we need to know who they are and what our relationship is with them before we start talking to them, because there's a certain way we need to talk with certain people, right? We don't go up to our boss like you're probably going to go out for an interview, right, if everything goes well, right? You don't go to your new potential boss and then say, you know what, this is how it's going to go. I'm going to come here, I'm going to come in late sometimes, or I'm going to do whatever I want, and you're going to hire me and you're going to pay me and that's it. That's not how it works, right? You don't talk to your boss that way, right? Your boss is somebody that you need to show respect. Sir, I'm here for a job and I would be very appreciative and I would work very hard, you know? And you understand your relationship and you establish that first, right? And that guides how you're going to continue that conversation. Am I correct? Friends, same situation. But God is also God our Father. So we need to establish that relationship. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, now that we've established who God is, what do? We align our will to His. Okay, God is God the Father. What does that mean? That's God who created everything, created the world for us. What does He want for us? What does He want for us? That's the question. What does He want for us?
He wants us to have faith. He wants us to have this kingdom. He wants
exactly.
us to be saved. He wants us to live with Him forever and ever and ever.
Amen, brothers.
Yes.
He wants us to live the life that He intended for us. He wants us to inherit everything, the kingdom that He built for us. This is God, the Father, right? And so we know that His will is glorious. It's awesome. It's incredible, right? So we align our will to His because it is perfect, you know? We know it's perfect. You know, if you know that there's like a winning horse, that's the one that you, well, okay, I'm not condoning betting here, but you know, that's the one that you know, you get behind. If you see somebody, if you see, you know, I don't know, Steve Jobs or Microsoft's Bill Gates and he just started a new company, you know he's an awesome, you know, just business management leader or something. So that's the one you get behind, right? Well, we know God is not only awesome at what He does, we know that His best interest is us. His interest is getting us the most that we could possibly, more than we could even imagine for ourselves. So what do we do next? It just makes sense. We get behind Him. We establish God is our Father, He loves us, and His name should be hallowed, to be revered, to be just glorified. And then we just go ahead and set our will behind this and say, you know what? God, I have all these other thoughts going through my minds and I have all these things going through my minds, but you know what? Your will be done, not mine. We establish God's will first. Your will, that's what's important. Whatever I got in my mind, whatever is going on in my life, all this hectic stuff, forget about it. Your will be done. Isaiah 55:9, God says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We can't even comprehend the beginning, the smallest inkling of, you know, how great and how grand His plan is for us. Let me take that back. We can understand some of it through what He tells us in the Bible. And even that is so incredible, it's so difficult for us to imagine. So, yeah. Continue on to verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. And a lot of people look at this and say, okay, he's asking for some bread. But let's think about this for a second, right? Jesus is asking us to just ask for a loaf of bread or something, like the 99-cent loaf that we could get, or maybe like a hamburger or something. Okay, is one hamburger, is that all this entails? No, right? We're making our requests for our daily needs. It's not just the bread, it's everything that we require for this day, you know? I mean, today I'm gonna need, I don't know, a ride to work, or I'm gonna need, you know, something to eat, definitely. I'm gonna need maybe somebody to talk to because I have a problem going on. I have needs for today, and I'm making those requests. But it's even more than that. It goes beyond that. Because when it says, give us today our daily bread, right? And we couple that with what other things that we know from the scripture, we know that when we ask God for our daily bread, right? We know that what's God gonna do? He's gonna give us our daily bread. What does God say in Matthew? He says, you know, look at the birds of the field, you know? They do not like store away in barns or like gather for the winter, but your heavenly Father feeds them. How much more will the Heavenly Father feed you, who are most precious of all? So we know that God will provide. So what is this actually? This is also saying, not only are we making our daily requests, we're also daily placing our burdens at His feet. Did you catch that? How is that equal? It's equal because we know that God will answer. We have all these needs for the day. And a lot of the times they stress us out. They give us reasons to worry and to doubt and like to just question ourselves and our own abilities. And I don't know, whatever is going on in our lives. But then it says, give us this day our daily bread. And we're asking God Almighty, God who loves us. What does this do? It takes the pressure off of us. God provides us with our daily bread. You know? So we're laying our burdens down at His feet every single day, and all of a sudden, okay, I'm praying to this Almighty God who created all of earth. You know, I'm placing my bets on Him, I'm getting behind Him, I'm asking Him for my daily bread, and all of a sudden, like, I'm like, okay, what is there for me to do, you know? It's like, it's just like, it's getting pretty awesome here, right? Number 12, and forgive us our debts, and He gives, this is where we actually start doing something, right? On our own, this is our part, right? And forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Right? So now we're asking for forgiveness, but this time we're actually saying, and let us just pay back in kind to others. Show others the love that He has shown us. We act according to what we have received. And Jesus also gives us a tale about a debtor who owed this king thousands upon thousands and I don't know, millions of dollars, more than he could possibly pay off in a single lifetime, right? The king comes over to him and he goes in and he says, you know what? It's okay. You're free to go. And then this man, he goes over to someone else like that owes him a couple hundred dollars, right? A couple hundred dollars. He's just been completely pardoned. You don't have to pay a single penny of like millions of dollars. He goes to the other guy and he goes, you know what, where's my money? You owe me $200. I need it now. And he tosses him in jail. The king hears about that and he takes that first guy and he tosses him in jail. He says, you wicked servant. You know, you will not see the light of day until you pay the last penny. Until you pay every single last penny. Why? Because this guy, he didn't understand what he was given. We have been given a lot. We've been forgiven of every single sin that we've ever committed, and we ever will. It's not a free pass to go ahead and just do whatever we want, but we've been given everything. as somebody who goes ahead and understands that gift, we need to give in kind. I mean, it's just natural, right? If you receive so much, then you just need to go ahead and share. It's just a natural tendency of us, for us as Christians. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Verse 13. We ask for continuing guidance. So God will give us our present, our daily bread. He will provide for our daily requirements. He'll forgive us our debts, which is the things that we've done in the past, all done and clear, wiped off the slate, and now we ask for His guidance in the future and what is to come. And there's something out there we don't know. 359 days left before us. We don't know. What do? We have faith, brothers. We have faith that God will guide us. We ask Him, lead us not into temptation. And God does not tempt. He places us in trials sometimes. And when we are tempted, it is by the weakness of our own flesh that we are tempted, because God does not tempt, right? It's when we just, you know, want something really, really bad and we let it consume us. That's when temptation occurs. But even in that situation, we ask for His deliverance. If we are placed in temptation by the weakness of our own flesh, we ask for His deliverance from the evil one. Who is the evil one? We might think Satan, or we might think the devil, but the evil one is actually ourselves. Because it's our own flesh that so often tries to pull us down. It's our own carnal desires. The old self to which we have died is what Paul calls it, says it is. That is what which continues to try to struggle and pull us back to the old ways before we knew God. But we know better. And we pray this prayer in order to go ahead and remind ourselves who we are, who God is. Number 14, verse 14, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. God has given us much, we are obligated to act. He says this, pretty much it's the same thing as what we said earlier in verse 12. It says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, right? This time Jesus says, after He's finished, concluded the prayer of teaching us how to pray, right? And He commands, He just basically instructs the people that He's talking to. If you forgive, God will forgive. If you do not forgive, God will not forgive. Right? That's what it says. There's no getting around that. I mean, some people might have a problem that it says, okay, does that mean that if I don't forgive this one guy, then God won't forgive me? But I thought God was all forgiving. I thought God was so, you know, so loving. Why can't He forgive me even though I'm not forgiving someone else? That's what it says. God really wants us to forgive. But we gotta understand that, you know, if we don't forgive, who are we hurting? It's not the other person that we're not forgiving, it's ourselves. God wants the best for us. We need to understand that. So when He instructs us, you know, to forgive, right? We need to understand that it's for our own good, that we need to let go of these, you know, these grudges, these hatreds, these enmities. That's gonna bar our way between God. Because what's between us and God? That should only be love. You know, the greatest of all commandments is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You know, and hate just bottles that up, that bottlenecks that up. It blocks us off. We need to forgive. We need to get rid of these things, and we need to understand. And if we do understand what we have been given, then there's no possibility that we will not forgive, right? Because it's the heart of the gift that really determines how we respond, right? And, you know, like, let's say a mom or something gets something from their little second grade daughter, right? she was working on something like every single day, and her mom saw something, like she didn't understand what it was, right? But every single day, like for like 2 weeks straight, for a second grader working on the same thing for 2 weeks is like an incredible achievement, right? But then the second grader, every single day for 2 weeks straight, she's working on something. And then on the end of the 2 weeks, it's Mother's Day. And then this little Amy comes up to mom, and then she gives her this little macaroni, like, you know, image of mom, and with a little heart around it. And then she says, you know, happy Mother's Day, right? Mom looks at that, and does she see just like, you know, macaroni pieces like falling off, and like little, like really, really badly drawn picture? No. She sees the heart of her daughter, right? In the same, and then she responds in kind. What does she do? She just grabs Amy and she hugs her and she's, oh, I'm so happy. I love you, Amy, right? Because we respond to the heart of the gift, right? And what was God's heart when he gave us Jesus Christ? Can we even begin to comprehend? If we do, even glimpse the smallest fraction of what it meant for him to send his only son to die for us, then we would have no problems forgiving anyone. So in conclusion, we're facing a new year, brothers. And I encourage you, instead of going, I will do this, I will do that, and making all these New Year's resolutions with the power of your own resolve, which we've already seen in the past fails, right? Just simply say this in. Instead, I will pray. God will sustain me. I will pray. I will keep a relationship with God. And God will do the rest. That is what we need to equip ourselves with right now at the beginning of this year, in order to better face the trials, the tribulations, whatever the world has to throw at us. Come on, I got the Lord's Prayer. And like, you know, sometimes that might be all you remember, but there's gonna be a time sometime in the future where like, you're gonna just be facing some hard times. And like, you'd be fumbling around like for Bible verses, memory verses or whatever, and they might not come to you, you know, because the flesh is gonna the enemy is gonna try to block them from you. But we're gonna always have the Lord's Prayer. You know, it's going to always be there. Even if we don't have a Bible handy, it's going to be there, right? And once the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of that, the Holy Spirit within us grabs a hold of that, we all of a sudden, we got God on our side again. And he's going to start working in you. And he's going to start, you know, just start pulling at you, tugging at your heart, and bringing you back to where you need to be.
Amen.
Let us pray, brothers. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this time that you have given us, Lord Father, to just look into your word, and Lord, to just learn of what awesome power you have given us, Lord Father. What a privilege you have given us to speak directly with you, Lord Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord Father. These are amazing things. And not only, Lord Father, did you provide us with the Holy Spirit, Lord Father, you taught us how to speak with them, Lord Father. Dear Lord Father, to speak with you, to connect with you, to have a relationship with you, Lord Father. And I ask, Lord, that in this week, in this year to come, Lord Father, that we would not forget what you have taught us, Lord Father. But Lord, instead that we would just use it in order to allow it to strengthen us, to bring us closer to you, so that your will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And let us all just close with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.